medicine.
I'd like your mother to see that.
He'll whine about that.
Get everybody's attention, that's good. I'm gonna call to order this West Lafayette School Corporation Board of Trustees regular meeting. Today is Monday, February 3rd, it is 6:30 PM, and I'm gonna ask for approval of the agenda. Moved by Mr. Bittner.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none, the motion does carry. Approval of the minutes of the January 6th, 2020 meeting of the board, need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Dr. Springer. Discussion, last-minute changes, I think everything's good. Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Communication from the audience, current agenda items, we had to sign up, a couple people came in late, anybody else, anybody have anything? Okay, nothing signed up here, we'll go to unfinished business, of which I have none, and we'll start our new business with section, or item three, and academic achievement strategic plan, action plans, and Dr. Kuhn.
The committee, reimagining West Lafayette Schools Committee, has been meeting since the fall. And we have put together, through lots of conversations and discussions, action plans that you have received to review. I'm not asking for a motion on those tonight, because there are several other groups I want to discuss our action plans with, including the WLEA teacher discussion this month. We do have committee members in the audience, and I do want to thank our committee members for participating. If you were on the committee, please stand so we can recognize you. Please. Let's give them a round of applause. And, of course, Karen and Rachel were board representatives. And one of the things I showed at the last meeting last week was this funding video by ISTA. And Randy had contacted me and thought, gave me a good suggestion about possibly playing that in conjunction with the presentation of these action plans. So hopefully I got the sound working now. And this is about a 3-minute video explaining public school funding.
Here in Indiana, we pride ourselves on valuing children and public education. So why does our state rank 47th in the country in per pupil spending? And 39th in teacher retention? What gives? For answers, you need to look back to 2008, when Indiana changed the way it funds its public schools. Prior to then, dollars to Indiana's school funding formula came through a few main sources. Call them silos. On average, 85% of the funding came from state income and sales taxes. 15% came from local property taxes. Together, these two silos made up the general fund for general operations of schools. In addition, local schools had access to other silos of funding for servicing debt, for transportation, and for capital projects. These silos were funded by property tax levies passed by local communities. That's how things used to work anyway. But in the spring of 2008, everything changed. The General Assembly decided to restructure school funding. They got rid of the general fund property tax and said the state would pay everything in that fund completely out of the income and sales tax silo. ISTA argued that eliminating the general fund property tax was a bad idea because it provided an important relief valve to schools during economic downturns. But those arguments fell on deaf ears in the spring of 2008. And disaster, it would turn out, was just a few months away.
The speed with which we are watching this market deteriorate.
Who knows where this is going to end up?
The Great Recession, they called it. The worst economic slump since the Great Depression. And it hit Indiana hard. By 2010, state revenue from income and sales taxes was severely reduced. Instead of making sure schools were funded properly, Governor Mitch Daniels used his emergency budget powers to cut public school funding by $300 million. That funding was never replaced, and the pie available for public schools got smaller. To add insult to injury, in 2011, the General Assembly created what's become the largest private school voucher program in the country, which now consumes at least $161 million a year and growing each year. And lawmakers have continued to promote the expansion of non-traditional charter schools during this same period. So it's no surprise that since 2008, public school funding increases have barely kept up with the rate of inflation. And that pie? There's even less to go around for our public schools. Which brings us to today. Our school funding system isn't adequately serving our kids. We're 47th in per pupil funding, 51st in teacher salary growth, and we all know that teachers' working conditions are students' learning conditions. Arts and music programs have been cut, school buildings are aging, good teachers are leaving the state, and Indiana continues to fall further behind. We can't go on like this. We need new sustainable increases to revenue for Indiana public schools that honor our commitment to our children, maintain local control, and protect teacher voices through collective bargaining. For our kids, teachers, and communities, it's time for action.
I thought that was a good video, and it, I think, does a nice job in, as you compare that to Rise Above the Mark, a lot of similarities with Rise Above the Mark. And let me get this no-show here real quick. Not allowed to put the screen up, otherwise April can't record. So it'll stay down. So one of the action plans talks about educating our community about things going on in our public schools, school funding, etc. So that was a piece that I wanted to show you. And in the coming months, when the board, after the board considers these action plans formally at the March 2nd board meeting, if and when those are approved by the board, then we will start working on implementation of these action plans, looking at cost projections, looking at committees, looking at implementation as much as we can, getting committees together to work on various topics. And then at some point, one of the action plans in our school funding talks about educating community. So we'll have some conversations about how can we educate our community about what's happening with public schools and with funding. At your table is a nice article that just came out in Time magazine from Dr. Diane Ravitch, and I believe that there were handouts on the table as well. Really talks a lot about the education reform movement that we're under and the problems with it, and what we really need to do to get our education system back on the right track. So I think these are topics of conversation that we need to have with our community. For instance, I don't think a lot of people realize that our current funding, our base ADM funding from the state, is almost $600 less today than it was 10 years ago. So those are conversations and information that we need to have with our community so they have an understanding of the economic pressures we're under and what we need to do to turn this around. And it's going to take voters, it's going to take the entire state. This is not just a West Lafayette issue, this is a statewide issue. And so we're going to look at trying to ensure that we do a better job of communicating these issues with our community in an education piece. So those action plans are at your place. Willing to take questions if you have questions on what you've read thus far, or if you have any comments. And we have committee members here as well if you want to ask them questions, and appreciate your review of these.
I want to say, as from having participated in them, I do feel like the assembly of people who were there working were very well balanced. There were a lot of great opinions from all grade levels and community members in their areas. I think that the way it was formatted, people really had opportunity to voice their opinions well and constructively. And there was dissent. It wasn't an agree. There was definitely dissent on some things. And I think that I have to say something about Abby, because she had the hardest job in the world, standing at a computer on a screen, typing as we talked, which she just really did a great job of putting the words together in ways that brought people together. So I really need to applaud her publicly in this setting. I don't know if you have anything to add, Karen.
Yeah, I just echo your comments regarding the balance balancing of the committee members, a wide variety representing all facets of the corporations. We had spirited discussions sometime at each of our tables, but.
It's a way it should be.
Yes.
Anything else, any comments?
I'll just add, I appreciate our board members being part of the committee, but more importantly, you know, our teachers and parents and getting involved. It's a major project, just going through it and reading it all the time and everything you guys put into it, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I echo that as well. We'll go on to academic achievement then and Happy Holidays and Dr. King.
As you'll see in the action, part of the action plans and the supplemental actually, as we talked about Happy Hollow, there is great passion, at least that's the way I feel, with regards from the committee and other people that I've spoken to about making sure we do something with Happy Hollow once the city moves out and not just leaving it as an empty building. We are continuing conversations with various entities for partnerships to look at an early childhood kindergarten center and or other ideas that might pop up. And I heard more than once from the committee members at the Reimagining Committee group that sooner the better to try to get something done with Happy Hollow, because we had those part of our conversations many years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, when we were doing community events with regards to our RDP projects. So I just wanted to make you aware that I am pursuing all avenues with regards to finding partnerships, to figure out cost analysis, to figure out plans, to KJG has been assisting me in creating some preliminary plans for that site. Kettle Hut has been assisting me with regards to cost analysis. Just today, Alan, Ross, Bob, and I met with a group of people to discuss an idea of a partnership. So we're trying to start that conversation, because this will be a couple of year process. And right now, we do not have debt service capacity to fund, and it's approximately $15 million to repurpose Happy Hollow into an early childhood kindergarten center based upon current estimates. We do not have the debt bonding capacity to fund that without impacting the tax rate. And we promised our community we would not impact the tax rate when we're going to do these projects. So I think it's my charge to look under every rock and try to find opportunities for us to fund this without impacting the debt service tax rate. I would caveat that with to say that if we get to a point where we need to do something with the building and it's going to impact the debt service tax rate, we're going to need to go to the community and explain it and see if we get community support. Because I don't want to go back on what we promised our community with regards to this. So I figure this entire process, at least gathering information and looking at everything, is going to be probably 6 to 8 months. And then I'll be periodically coming back to you all and giving you an update. And hopefully we will find an avenue to make something happen with regards to Happy Hollow.
Reminded the city is also its lease is leaving on December 31st.
Mm-hmm. And they have an extension capacity.
They can extend.
Yeah. Which we're hoping.
Well, they're very certain that
it's going to be done by December. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocky. Now we'll go on to more academic achievement under that mantra and facilities updates.
Just want to give you a quick update. James, our guy, academic wing, is moving along nicely now. The anticipated opening date for that is going to be June 2021, and we will be working on some ribbon cutting, save the date information as we get closer to the end of this calendar year to prepare for that. And then the other piece is the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center, which we'll be in the process of selling bonds over the next couple of months, and then that project will will start in earnest sometime in May, and we will have to close the junior senior high school down for a couple of weeks to move all the utilities. And then I wanted to make you aware that I am working on Save the Music Day for the grand opening of the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center, where I am reaching out to some highly talented musicians to come and perform on that day to celebrate Tom Kelly's music, to celebrate music education. For instance, I reached out to the Bootleg Beatles Band, the number one selling band in the world with regards to the Beatles, that we saw at the Royal Albert Music Hall in October. And Tyson Kelly, Bob's grandson, Tom's son, plays John Lennon. They have agreed to participate. So they'll be coming from London, and they're going to try to actually get their first U.S. tour in the States, and they're going to stop in West Lafayette to be a part of that. And I think that also could be a fundraiser to do a VIP concert kind of thing with them. And if you've never heard them, go to Bootleg Beatles Band. Just Google Bootleg Beatles Band, and you can find their website, and you can hear them. They're extremely talented musicians. Also, the Kelly family is helping me get in contact with some other named acts who have performed some of Tom's songs. And so I don't want to drop names here without knowing that we're going to get them, but we have some high-quality names, if I were to mention them, that I think most people would recognize, especially if you're around in the 70s and the 80s listening to pop music. So I plan on Save the Music Day. We want to partner with the foundation. This will cost some funds, so I'm going to be looking for corporate sponsors. And with everyone working together, I think we can actually make this a fundraiser opportunity as well, and we can celebrate music education in our schools.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
With the June opening of the James R. Guy Wing, is there a plan in place or thought being given to how faculty can get in and work on STEM? Presumably our STEM faculty are going to have work to do to get new classrooms and labs ready. Is there?
There will be a plan.
There will be a plan?
Yeah.
Okay. I love a good plan.
There will be a plan.
Great.
And the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center, I can give you the date for the grand opening. It's June 26, 2021. Because I have to schedule these people. I can't just say, yeah, it's going to be sometime around this. And I've already have the commitment from Kettle Hut and from our construction companies. This will open June 26, 2021. Otherwise, I'm giving them all the bills. You're going to pay for everything.
Academic achievement, teacher evaluation review update, and
we have a committee working to revise our teacher evaluation process. It's like I said a couple of years ago, and even last year, we are in transition. So we are transforming some things, and one of the things we're transforming is the teacher evaluation process. And we have a broad-based teacher administration committee working on this, and I anticipate a completion date coming to teacher discussion, and then eventually the school board sometime in April or May for consideration. But we're streamlining the evaluation process. We are updating the process according to Indiana code, and we're getting lots of great teacher input with regards to what we can adjust. So I think everyone will be very pleased with the outcome.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that our WLEA teacher input, or is that, you feel that's a comprehensive teacher?
Well, I asked for teacher volunteers, and I didn't look at whether it was WLEA or not, but the WLEA works very closely with administration to ensure that we've got broad-based representation regardless if it's a teacher in WLEA or not.
Okay.
So I actually don't look at that. I look at trying to make sure I've got kindergarten through 12th grade representation, and we work together to make sure that we do that well.
Great.
And there was an invitation that went out to all of our teachers asking for volunteers. Mary Dell, is that fair? Did I say that correctly, or Randy?
Well, it is state law that WLEA is the one that solicits and organizes such representation, so that's what we did.
Yeah. But the invitation that I sent out went to everyone, in whatever process that they used, so.
Correct, and then we took it from there and got almost immediate feedback, yeah, I wanna serve, and it was quickly accomplished.
Thank you for clarifying that, I appreciate it.
Okay, anything else, Rocky, any other questions? Academic achievement, online summer school, and Mr. Sloan, you are up.
Okay, we're looking for the summer school ready, and in the past several years, the high school, they offered an online summer school through the Indiana Online Academy, which have had real good success. Last year, we had 142 students take courses, there's 232 courses taken with 142 students, so several had multiple classes. And talking with Ron, what it does help with staffing, because a lot of take econ, they take government, they take Spanish, algebra, so it does help some staffing and scheduling problems during the school year. The price is the same again, we would be, have to pay $235 a student. Student has a $50 tech fee that they would pick up. Then in the past, and then with summer school, you get some state reimbursement. The past couple of years, you would get 100% back, but last year, there's more, I think a lot more schools are participating in the online program, so the state only has one pot of money, and they see who applies for it, and then they distribute it, and we were reimbursed about 80%. So our bill was $54,000 for those classes, and we had, we got $44,000 back from the state. Right, so it cost us 10, so that's the first year really it was out of our pocket cost for this program. Although I think it's probably valuable because it does help offset some staffing requests from Ron during the school year, so I think it's probably money good, well invested. We may put a cap on the number of students, that way we know the cost won't get way out of range, because the thing is, we don't know from the state how much we're gonna get back until after all the schools apply for summer and then they distribute it evenly, so. Been a good program, good success. I'd recommend, you know, if you're interested, we continue with that.
Above that cap, would you allow parents to pay?
Yeah, parents can pay.
Okay.
Right.
Above the cap.
Yeah. Now, if the parents pay, it's $275. If they pay, maybe we could pay and they can pay us back, you know, keeping it at $235.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
So.
Moved by Mrs. Witt, seconded by Mr. Schott. Additional discussion or questions? You said you had 142, so I mean, we anticipate that number is going to continue to.
Yeah, it could go up. They said the guidance office promotes it, they'll set a deadline, like we got to turn our numbers in by the end of March. So they would advertise it, you know, and get the students enrolled by that time. So.
Questions or comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion, if it does carry. Let's move to school board policy revision, and Dr. Killian, it's back to you.
Courtney is and our food service is going through their state audit, and one of the requirements of the state audit is to ensure that our board policies align with Indiana code and regulations with regards to lunch, breakfast. And so as she's reviewed this, she's gone back and looked at those regulations, and she's offering revisions based upon those regulations. There is some redundancy in the language, but she's comfortable with it as is so that she can have it for the audit. I did tell her I'd bring it to the board for consideration. It's an update based upon the requirements of free and reduced lunch, our paid lunch, our paid breakfast requirement programs for reimbursement. So I'm recommending your approval that so she can have this board policy available when the audit finalizes mid-February.
Need a motion, please. Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion, questions?
I want to point out that when we in policy committee were working on policies, we stripped a lot of language out of them that was kind of a position statement or redundant to the content of the policy. That exists in this policy, And I would just say that, and I have said this to Rocky already, I'd like this one to come back to policy committee for review and cleanup. But the timing is such that I think we need to, my opinion is we need to move it through.
Okay.
But then understand it, to make it fit with everything else, we're probably gonna need to take a couple hundred words out of it.
Well, the Courtney's perspective, she wanted this language in. We already do it and it's a USDA requirement.
Yeah, I was just looking at the beginning, but we could take it to policy and talk about it. That's my feeling, and I'm not saying, I would dictate it, I'm just saying maybe we could have a convo.
Other questions or comments?
Unrelated, how's the food court now that it's a month?
Doing well, we've seen higher participation. Of course, when you have a 60-minute lunch, you're not gonna capture everyone because there's time for people to leave. But I'm hearing positives that the food quality is better. I'm hearing positives that selection is better. They're still working on pockets of lines for popular items. They did start sushi this past week, and I guess that's been very popular. So I asked them if they had a self-serving, you make your own sushi, but Courtney didn't like that idea. But that's what I've heard thus far.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that April, that motion does carry. Performing Arts Center bond resolution. And Ross, I think it's you.
Okay, we're in the process to keep moving on our, it's a $7.5 million bond that we continue with to, you know, to do the performing arts project. So this is a step in that. We've done some proper advertisements. The action required tonight is we have, you know, there's the building corp and we had a lease agreement with them with the other projects. So the building corp takes the money, builds it, then we lease from them. This requires an amendment to the current lease. So in your packet, you had an amendment to the lease, which reflects how much maximum payment could be, the term, and some other data in there. You're not approving the lease tonight, but you're approving the form of the lease. So the resolution then, it says that you've reviewed the amendment to the lease, you're approving the form of the amendment to the lease. And we've advertised in the paper in appropriate places that at the March 2nd meeting, then you would approve the actual lease. So the step tonight is saying that this amendment to the lease document looks appropriate, and then we would have a hearing and vote on that at the March 2nd meeting.
Can you need a motion, please? Moved by Mr. Bittner.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Questions? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? That motion does carry. Thank you, Ross. And we'll move back to trustee and paying agent for West Lafayette Community School Corporation and back to Ross.
Yeah, once the bond is sold, we need a trustee bank to hold the proceeds. We've used all, two of our bonds have Huntington, one bond has Old National. We really prefer Huntington, they've been easy to work with. So they hold the funds, we give them a draw schedule, they'll invest the funds, and then when we have to pay the contractors, we send the pay application or invoice to the trustee bank, and then they issue the check. So we don't actually hold the funds ourselves, but they're holding it for us. So our recommendation is that we would continue with Huntington Bank, and you can see the fee, acceptance fee, $500, one-time fee, and annual administration fee is $675. This is the same fee structure that we have on the current trustee arrangement with them for, with our 17 bond and the 19 bond. So we recommend this approval for Huntington Bank.
Motion, please.
So moved.
And Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Bittner. Discussion. Questions?
Is there any opportunity to earn any interest, or is that prohibited?
On proceeds. Well,
opportunity to earn interest on the proceeds?
Oh, yeah.
What are they going to pay us?
Well,
I'm asking as a school board member, not a...
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Well, I mean, once I give them the draw schedule, they'll ladder out some different investments, you know, depending on how soon, because some of this money you aren't gonna need till next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and they will reach out for different investment opportunities, so. On the other bonds that we have out so far, we've earned, I think, 1.2 million on interest earnings on our three bonds to date. So there is some opportunity there if the rates, you know, stay where they're at maybe here.
Helps us with our debt service payments.
So yeah. We'll bid the investment of the
right.
proceeds.
Okay.
And their fees are reasonable. I don't know how they can do it for that. But
for the I mean, do we send them, usually once a month, we send them a claims request, you know, and they may have to issue out 4, 5, 6 checks or payments out to different vendors. So, I mean, we use them quite a bit. We get monthly statements and for all the communication with them, so it's been a good arrangement.
What I appreciate about Ross, I mean, he does dig and he gets under every rock to find out what's the best investment, and it has helped bring some additional dollars in that we're going to sorely need moving forward.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. We'll move to administrative regulations, and this is for information only, Dr.
Now that the revision committee and the school board has updated our school board policies, it's time to update the administrative regulations.
Cool.
I've been looking, so forward to this.
It's gonna take you like an hour, right?
Yeah, two hours. So I'm anticipating about a year process. As a reminder, the board gave me authorization last year to utilize NEOLA. I'm still debating whether or not I want to utilize them. We've not paid them anything. April's actually been able to set me up with some older NEOLA administrative reg policies that I may try to just utilize, and with a small committee see how far we get, and then if we get to a point where we actually need that NEOLA assistance, I may go back to them. But I just want to make you aware we're going to start the process, and I anticipate it taking about a year.
Sounds okay. We'll move on to common school fund applications.
By statute, I need to get board's approval to the school board's approval to apply for the common school fund, and those are usually twice a year. So if you approve allowing me to apply, I will keep applying. To date, we have received 28 common school fund applications, and I think we're probably in the neighborhood of 3+ million with regards to being able to improve our technology infrastructure and the computers and Chromebooks and iPads and all the things that we've needed, servers, email servers, redundancy, fiber optics. I mean, I could just go on and on about the upgrades that we've done and we're going to continue to try to do. Right now, we want to replace the smart boards that have projectors with smart boards that don't need projectors. And that makes a lot of sense.
So we need a motion here?
Yes.
Okay, need a motion, please.
So moved.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion.
Lucky number 29.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
It's good to be undefeated.
Yeah. Hope my streak doesn't end, but at some point.
Let's see. Any other questions or comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Moved to February ADM, and for this information only, I believe.
Yes, just wanted to give you the update. This is the year that we have a new ADM count, and it's today, February 3rd, and it is now, it will impact state funding. And so as of this morning, we were 40.5 students fewer than in the fall. As of this afternoon, we're now to 39.5 students fewer. We had someone enrolled today. So that's on average $6,000 per student that we will see a reduction in state funding. And that's January through June.
End of June.
Right.
Yeah.
So we will see an approximate reduction of a total of $240,000 in state funding between January and June. So we're going to have to work on mitigating that reduction and how we accommodate that moving forward. Hopefully, this is not a trend. I'm worried because last year, as a reminder, we lost about 23 students in February, but there was no money attached to that decrease. Now here we are with money attached to it, and we nearly doubled that amount. So I'm a little worried that for whatever reason, we're seeing a little bit of a trend of a decrease in ADM, and we're going to have conversations about how do we look at possibility of other things to help that ADM number.
What's the biggest reason? Any idea?
Yeah, we have any idea?
We are checking. We lost 28 from the high school, which is very unusual. Very, very unusual. So
across all classes, or
yeah, yep.
Two of my neighbors' kids.
Yeah,
that's a big job.
I think there's some legislation to try to correct this. I read this week on it, and one of the concerns was seniors in high school that were getting out a semester early, that they didn't want to penalize schools for that.
Yeah.
But whether it happens, who knows?
One of our neighboring schools lost 40 to 50 kids due to early graduation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to lose their funding just because kids graduated early and you did the right thing.
Then you can't change staffing the second semester. I mean, your costs are pretty fixed.
Yep. Not a good setup.
No, but we'll keep plugging away. But I wanted to give you the news. Yeah, well, I wish I had better news.
School bus purchase and...
that's good news. School bus purchase.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good
news. Boss, tell us the good news on that.
Yeah. Doug was going to be here tonight. I kind of wanted him to talk about it, but he had some minor surgery today, and he wasn't feeling up to it, so he said we'll take care of it. So we got a little different approach this year on buying buses. When we were with City Bus, we liked the transit rear-engine diesel bus, capacity of 84. City Bus works on primarily 100% diesels down there, so that they like doing it, and rear engines are more difficult to work on. Well, now TSC does our maintenance. They have very few diesel. Actually, they're going to a lot of LP gas buses and not many diesel. So Doug kind of investigated that, and talking with TSC and their maintenance, we kind of come down to looking at a 78-passenger conventional gas. So that's front engine, conventional bus. You're losing six capacity, depending on the size of the students. And
it's a practical matter.
Yeah. And also, we're going to buy from Midwest Bus, which is when you go down in Indianapolis, you see the bus lot there all the time. Or before, we bought with Kerlin up in Silver Lake, and those are Thomas buses. So we recommended an international 78-passenger gas engine. And then also recommend a 14-passenger StarCraft activity bus, because in our bus plan, if you looked at it, we're going to change two buses. After Doug got the quotes and the trade-in, they'd only give us $500 for our older activity bus. But Doug's driving that every day. Since we've decentralized class, we're hauling students a lot of different places. For $500, and that's pretty good. That's a diesel, and that's a good solid bus, so we're going to keep it. So actually, we'll end up with an extra activity bus, which probably is going to be a good thing with the way we got to take these kids across the county. So that would also be for Midwest Bus, 14-passenger StarCraft activity bus. So the cost on the 78 passengers, $106,886. They add the other bus to a $55,499, we got $162,300 cost. We're going to trade in two buses. One is a 2009, $4,000 we'll get credit for. And then one of the buses we got from Glass is not in really good shape, and we're going to trade it in, but we'll get $3,000. So our net cost is $155,000. Now, kind of my question, I don't know how you feel about this, is all of our buses, so we got buses with air conditioning. So Doug was kind of like, well, do we get air conditioner? And I said, well, all of them have it. I don't know if you don't get one with air and somebody has to ride in it and know everybody else has air, how's that going to work? But that's additional cost of about $8,600 if we add air conditioning to this 78 passenger bus. Now your activity bus has air. I mean, it's front end, you know, engine air, but you have to have auxiliary air in a 78 passenger bus. So I guess I'd kind of recommend buying the air conditioned bus. We always have in the past. I mean, it's not really necessary, but something you might, you know.
I'd recommend we buy the air conditioned bus.
Yeah, they're young. When even though they're not going long distances, there will be young children on the bus for 45 minutes at a time on a hot day. That's
and especially if they have any medical issues, asthma, breathing issues, I think it's a good investment of $8,600 to do the air conditioning.
Yeah.
So what's the comparison between diesel engines and gas engines as far as life expectancy and maintenance? And I've always thought that diesels would run for, you know, 1,000,000 miles.
Yeah. And that is true. Our issue is we really don't run enough miles long enough to keep it's good for diesel. Mm-hmm. Diesels are running longer running engine, likes to run a little hotter, you know, for your emission controls and things. And so what we found is we have about as much maintenance because we don't drive them enough miles.
Good.
And it is more fuel efficient, but then, yeah, it's like those diesel buses are $20,000 more than what this gas is.
Yeah. I don't think I'd buy a car today without air conditioning, so.
No.
Yeah.
The ones we're trading in, are they in bad shape? It doesn't
seem well, they're spare buses, and they're just...
They're worth holding on to for that few amount of dollars or not?
One, we don't have a lot of room to store these spare buses. And two, some of the, when you get to that point, you have to put money in to get the state police inspection.
Gotcha.
Like what we found, they start rusting out, and the pans underneath, you know, and you got to replace them, or you got other issues. And so we found that it's not real efficient to keep them. But, and we'll still have some spares without these, but... So that's kind of the recommendation. Then, but you might keep the transit buses are nice. Like if you take athletic, you know, football, you go quite a few trips. And I would say in another year or two, as our transits get older, we can always buy another transit to use for some athletic. And it's got the underbelly storage, you know, which is good. And if you go on, you know, 100-150 mile trip, it's probably more fuel efficient. I think right now this seems to be what our need is. So our cost with the air conditioning, we've got around $164,035 after trade. So we'd order these if, with your approval, and you know we should have them in by fall.
Can we need a motion, please?
I'll move it.
Move
second.
Mr. Marley, second by Mr. Schott. Discussion.
I think you're making the right call. If you push this down the road, we're going to end up paying more. So that makes sense.
We can take a pulling of air conditioning if we need.
Could use a hay wagon.
Yeah.
Tractor.
Hay wagon.
Hay ride every day. Is
just a whole fleet of monster trucks.
There's a lot of cleanup
that's
involved.
What
that's what we had in Putnam County.
Any other questions or snarky comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Thank you, Ross. We'll go to overnight field trips. High school robotics team 461 to compete at Penn in Mishawaka on March 13th through 15th. That's the front of the spring break. And high school robotics team to compete at Perry Meridian on March 26th to 28th. Do I need a motion, please?
So
moved. Moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Dr. Springer. I'm not sure we need discussion, but I'll open up to that.
Just want to know if they're in air conditioner or not.
Today we almost needed it. Amazing. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry.
You may not need it Wednesday night or Thursday morning.
You're convinced we're going to have a winner's better.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm believing that it's not going to happen.
There you go. Personnel report and weather report by Dr. Killian.
Yes.
Go ahead.
If you have we've yet to check the weather. Wednesday night into Thursday morning, be prepared for a 2-hour delay. I'm just saying. I recommend your approval on all the items listed in the personnel report.
Okay. Motion. Moved by Dr. Springer.
I should probably abstain.
I should too.
I'll second that.
Okay, second by Mrs. Witt.
My daughter's on the report.
I know, we've got four.
I have a question.
Don't you have to, though, do you? Bob, on the abstentions?
No, as long as you disclose it, that you've got it, you have an interest, you know, you don't have to abstain.
Well, and you weren't involved with the hiring process. All you're doing is fulfilling Indiana code, which means you're a filter to ensure that we follow the process with criminal history, background checks, et cetera. Administration's authorized to do the hiring, you're authorized to ensure the filter that we follow the correct process. A lot of people don't quite understand that, but that's really what Indiana code and the reason we bring personnel reports to you is all about. Because if you see a process that we have a followed criminal history background check, having the right credentials, et cetera, you're responsible to ensure that you bring notice to my attention so we can correct that.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Rachel?
Yeah, so there was a resignation added to the report today, and there wasn't an associated letter attached to that, and I would like to see that. It doesn't change my vote, but I'd like to see that report.
If we get it. If we get it. You can't force someone to write a letter.
No.
But if I get it, we will send it out.
That would be great. Thank you.
There you go.
Okay. Other comments or questions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Accounts payable, Mr. Slurt.
Yeah, so when you looked at accounts payable, it looks a lot different, and that's because we changed
yes, format. It does.
Format, and then...
How's it look?
Karen,
took me all a while to figure it out. But.
Yeah, Karen called me today and said, what about your dates on there? Well, I messed that up too. Like, the payroll dates, it was December 5th and 20th for 2019. That was wrong because it should be January 3rd and 17th. So thank you, Karen, for pointing that out. So we replaced that front page, and I think that's what it reflects now. And remember, we used to see employee reimbursements. Now, when we reverse them with this system, it's reimbursed through payroll. It's not a separate check.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you want me to pull those out so you can see what it is or not worry about it. I mean, that you have to let me know.
So is this the new format?
Yeah, so this is a new financial software and how this is going to look.
Okay.
Now, I like it in some ways a little better because if you look, like, it shows you how much payroll comes out of each fund.
Mm-hmm.
Or before it was combined. I mean, that's an advantage. So you see, like, operations, how much the payroll was for these two pay periods and out of education fund. And so it shows those totals. And then your other expenses, it also gives you a page of total by fund so you can see how much. Now, you had the total by fund on the other report, except it was just at the end of each fund. Here, summarize it on one page. There is one sheet in there. It looks like your old report, and that's because we had some leftover things in the last software we had to pay out. So that's why that one page looks like that. So that does look a little different. I guess one thing I want to point out, if you look, there's some rainy day fund expense, and that rainy day fund expense, we had four administrators combine, retire, and these are payouts according to the administrative agreement with the severance payments. So that's what is paid out of the rainy day. you see anything else you got questions on, why let me know, but I think as we get through this, you get used to it. It looks strange to see it, but once you sort out what's in there, I think it's going to be a little bit easier to read.
Less pages.
Fewer pages.
It
looks more consolidated,
yeah.
And I like the summaries that it prints out.
Okay. I need a motion, please, from the council paper.
So moved.
By Mr. Bittner.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Comments or additional questions for Ross? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. information of the board. The only thing I had is just that our committees and are pretty much they are the same. And April, I don't know if I dropped the ball. Did I get you what you needed back? I'm not sure. Okay. And we may have another, may have something else potentially down the road that we need to add to. But that is my news for the day. Board and superintendent reports. Mr. Marley, you are up.
I don't have anything.
Okay. Mr. Schott?
Nor do I.
Okay. This is not here, but.
Teacher discussion, Rockfield.
Rockfield, okay. Brian?
I was not able to make this weekend's meeting due to family being in town. Oh, Randy, were you able to make the breakfast? Okay, nothing to report.
Okay. All right, Karen?
Park Board is utilizing a new software system as well. It's a new point-of-sale software system called Civic Rec. So when you go to sign up for programs now through the West Lafayette Parks and Recreation Department, you'll be asked to set up a new account.
Okay. All right.
And it's supposed to be more user-friendly.
All right. Rocky, and
teacher discussion. We talked about ideas to retain paraprofessionals. Talked about our facilities construction update, teacher evaluation review process. As a reminder, February 28th, we have a professional development day coming up with Dr. Todd Whittaker. Strategic plan, action plans update, lawsuit update, and then our anticipated February ABM count.
I think the only other things I have to add is the alumni committee is still the Wall of Pride will be third week of September. I think that date has it's been set, and I think we have sent save the dates out. But and that's still in the process of trying to work with all their honorees to make sure we get as many of them here as possible. And we're still, the fundraising committee is still going at it, and we'll be meeting again on Friday. I think that's basically it for me. Anything else from that standpoint, Rocky? Anything else from your perspective?
Nope.
Communication from the audience, non-agenda items. Did catch you by surprise, so anything out there? All okay. Future meetings, teacher discussion, Thursday, February 20th at 4 p.m. Regular board meeting Monday, March 2nd at 6:30. I'll take the motion for adjournment.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Marley, second by Mrs. Witt. We have some things to sign, but all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.
I'm sure you
thank you.
You don't have those.